sing it again. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful. Yes, my Redeemer, he is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning, his mercies are new. Good evening, saints. God bless you. Be flat, please. Amen. It's good to be gathered together with you once more in the house of the Lord. Brother Michael's going to come and bring the word to us once again. It's nice to have our brother Tim home. I believe our brother Tom is also just making his way home as we speak. Amen. So may the Lord strengthen them. It's good to have the family coming back together. Amen. I trust you've come expecting this evening. Every opportunity is just another chance to hear from the Lord, and I'm certainly grateful for it. Let's just sing this together, an old song that we've sung many, many times that I love. Father in heaven, we love thee. We lift your name in all the earth.
Oh, Father. Established in our praises, as your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Blessed be
blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Father, how privileged we are to come on a Wednesday night, Lord, and give worship and praise to the King of Kings, Lord. For you are worthy of it, O God. Lord, how my heart just swells with joy when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that you have done for me. Lord, and then my heart cries out, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, O God. Hallelujah. And because you live, we live also. Hallelujah. What a privilege to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. We're going to go to prayer at this time. Brother Tim, I know you've just returned home. It would be good to have you pray for us if you would please come. And there's a prayer request from our sister Maria, just asking for prayer from a sister from Colombia. I'm sorry if I can't say the name correctly. Sister Jamina from Colombia. She's going through a severe episode of depression and needs a touch from the Lord. And she's just praying the Lord will reveal himself to her as a deliverer. Amen. Do you believe the Lord delivers? I know that you do. It's good to put it on our lips. He's a deliverer. Amen. That's why I love even that the line that says, he's my comfort, he's my shelter, he's my tower of refuge and strength. I think those are my favorite lines in the entire song. It's just so real to me. Amen. To have a comfort in the Lord Jesus. He's the comfort of my soul. Amen. Brother Tim, come if you would please open the service for us in a word of prayer. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You know, we want to remember this sister. Maybe you have a need. One of the greatest things, or one of the most mentioned things that Brother Branham prayed for was nervousness. Constantly mentioned nervousness amongst the people. When you hear depression, when you hear anxiety, it's just another form of nervousness that Brother Branham talked about. You believe God's able to do the work? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Wonderful Redeemer. Oh Lord. As Brother Ryan has stated, as the song is sung, we sing for joy at the work of your hands. When we think of all the things that you have brought us through, when we think how you brought us out of the world with a mighty deliverance, O God. Some of us you brought up within the message with a mighty hand, O Lord. Great are thy works. And great is thy faithfulness, O God. Lord, you keep care of your children. You are touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You are our high priest. You are the one, Lord, that has everything that we have need of. The virtue that comes from your presence, Lord, touches every fiber of our being, every part of our makeup, from our spirit to our body, even, Lord, refreshing our souls. We thank you for the refreshing of your word. We thank you, Lord, that we could come together tonight and, Lord, be refreshed, be washed, as it were, in the water of the word once again tonight. We pray that you'll take Brother Michael into your hands. Lord, that you'll use him, O Lord, once again. Lord, as we thank you for the gift that you've placed within him. But, Lord, more preeminent than the gift is the word. Lord, may the word be, as you said, spirit and life tonight. May it touch each one of us, Lord, and bring us closer to yourself. May it go forth even to this sister, Lord, that has this need, this spiritual need, O God, being afflicted of the devil. Lord, may every spirit of depression, may every spirit of anxiety, may every spirit of nervousness be rebuked tonight. Under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, may you go forth in power and demonstration. We've seen you do it many times. And we say once more, Lord, may you rebuke the enemy, O God. And may you wrought a great victory, O God, we pray. We commit her into your hands. Lord, we commit this service to you. We thank you for what you've done this past Easter, O Lord. We had hoped, Lord, in ourselves that it might be the last Easter, and it still might be the last one. We're here because we believe in a resurrection. We're here, Lord, because we believe that one day this mortal will become immortality. We, Lord, believe that's your promise to us. And Lord, as we commit ourselves to your hands tonight, we just want to say one thing, Father, have your way. Not what I want, not what anyone here wants. Not even what Brother Michael wants, Brother Ryan wants. We all want what you want, Lord. So, Father, just take the preeminence and have your way this evening. We commit this service to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Bless you and have your seats. We're just going to invite our brother Michael to come at this time, and maybe we could just sing that old song, "When He Reached Down His Hand for Me." Amen. I love the verses to this song. So let's sing it out. I'm not going to take a whole long time to try to get everybody worked up. We're just going to invite brother Michael to come. Amen. We are mature believers. Amen. We can just enter in and worship our God because he's worthy of it. But let's sing this together. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, but he reached down his hand for me. And oh, to remember that moment when he reached down his hand. So let's sing it like we're thinking back on that and showing our appreciation to the Lord Jesus.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, oh, and was wretched and
he reached down his hand. personal tonight. Amen. Everybody was lost and undone. Everybody here was lost and undone. But we can sing when he reached down his hand, not for you, but for me and you. Amen. A personal testimony. Amen. That's my prayer tonight, that maybe if there's even one here tonight, may his hand continue to reach and find one that's lost and undone tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. Wow, we had such a wonderful time this weekend, didn't we? Amen. I just enjoyed Brother Murphy and the worship, Brother Ryan. We had a time in his presence. And may he come one more time. Amen. May he come one more time tonight. We have a couple visitors here tonight. I think we have Brother Kim and Sister Linda Hildebrand. I'm assuming that's you in the balcony. God bless you. Nice to have you tonight. Welcome to the house of the Lord with us tonight. Amen. From Saskatoon. God bless you. Amen. We also have a Sister Amy. Is she here visiting from Spain? I have that. No, Sister Amy. God bless you. That's a long way to come. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. We're going to have Young People's this Friday, for those that are able to make it. We'll have Young People's this Friday night there in the school, in the gym there. So just for those that are back home and able, I know some have been sick, and some are getting better. That's a good thing. Amen. Just gathered tonight around the Word of the Lord. Amen. Well, you can turn your Bibles now to John 4 tonight, familiar scripture. Thank you, musicians. As you're turning, just want to let you know, Brother Andrew texted me some brothers earlier today. Brother Ron Spencer had a heart attack just within this last night or this morning, and he just has some blockages. He's in the hospital, stable, and they were able to put a stent in, but he really needs our prayer tonight. And so the devil has attacked and attacked and attacked, and I guess he just hasn't got the hint yet that our God is a God of battle and a God of war. Amen, amen. Our God is a God of war. And so we just want to lift him up before him and the family as they continue to deal with the demons of hell that are trying to wage war against him. And so we'll lift up their names before the Lord tonight in prayer. Remember him in prayer. There's three blockages, I believe it is, and they're just trying to take care of two with stents and then one with some medication. And so we just pray, keep them in your prayers earnestly as we just bring them before the Lord. Amen. We'll read scripture here in John 4 tonight. Extremely familiar scripture that's been quoted and read many, many, many times. It maybe tonight just a bit of the Lord will open a door and can feed you with his word tonight. John 4, 16, Jesus saith unto her, I won't go through the whole chapter, but he's speaking to the woman at the well. We know the account well, but Jesus saith unto her in verse 16, go and call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. What a powerful scripture. Brother Bram said she had more in her than many, many people there to perceive. He was a prophet there standing before her. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Right away she comes into worship now. Worshipped in this mountain, ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And so there was a conflict here, where they felt worship was, and the Jews worshipped in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. And we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, indeed we want to worship you not just in truth, but in spirit and in truth. Lord, that's your desire, Lord, that we would come, Lord, both life, word and life, Lord, mixed together, that there would be, Lord, such an expression Lord, of your of life through your people, that we could worship you. We're so thankful you've given us, Lord, an open book, the open word, that we could worship you. Lord, we also, Lord, want the presence and spirit of Almighty God to anoint that word, to quicken that seed, that, Lord, you could receive our worship here tonight. Lord, we are coming and bringing, Lord, our needs. Lord, we do have many, but, Lord, Brother Ron is in need tonight. Specifically, Lord, Satan coming and attacking here. Lord, he's preached at Louisiana, Lord, at their Easter meetings. Lord, like a warrior, Lord Jesus. And then Satan, Lord, upset once more and angry. But Lord, we come against him. Lord, not with anything of man's might, but we come against him, Lord, by the authority you've given us, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, you'd meet the need, Lord. You'd go to his heart, Lord, and you'd go to those vessels, Lord, as we have Brother Ben, Lord, here in our own congregation. Lord, test his body testifying that you can intervene on the behalf of a body where there's a heart that's in need. Would you do the same, Lord? Would you quicken that heart, Lord? Would you strengthen it, Lord, from with a supernatural outflow, we pray. Oh, God, and don't stop at the heart, but would you continue through the body, move through the lungs, through his brain, all the pieces and parts, Lord, of the body you created, Lord. Would you just do a complete threshing, oh, God, of the powers of darkness that would try to invade? We lift him up, Lord. We lift the Spencer family up to you. Lord, those, each one that would be supporting and, Lord, need strengthening, Sister Connie. Lord, your word has come with power and might, oh, God. Let you, my Lord, show your power. Lord, show, Lord, your word is still the same today as it was, Lord, yesterday and forever, oh, God. So we, Lord, commit, Lord, this need to you. May there be, Lord, just a testimony of your goodness, we pray. Commit this service. Lord, may you break your word. Would you speak to us tonight? So personally, I pray. Give a liberty of your spirit in this little sanctuary in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Take just a little thought tonight. I've just been pondering a little line, and maybe we'll pull from a little bit of last week. We'll see. I have kind of a cut line in my notes, a little bit in the midway, and if I get there and I have not enough time, then we're going to just cut the service short. And so you'd be like, oh, man, because if I keep going, well, then who knows? So I have drew a line there. Amen. So if you're pulling, it's your fault. If you're not pulling, well... I don't know where to go with that statement. Amen. It's good to be in his presence tonight. Amen. I'm going to take a little thought out of verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is. Or the hour cometh and now is. You know, everybody who's had children here or interacted with children, you know, they will know that the concept of waiting, you know, it doesn't quite develop at a young age. You know, that term to wait, or the term soon, or, you know, in a little while, or you know, time isn't really developed there. And so, they, you know, when you can say, well, we'll soon, we're going to do X, Y, Z, or we're going to go here, or something like that. And, you know, a couple moments later, it's like, are we, you know, is it soon yet? Or, you know, is it time? Or, you know, because they just haven't developed this concept of waiting. Waiting's hard. Not just for young ones. Waiting can be hard for all of us. You know, who's been on a road trip with their family? And it's, who knows the line? You've heard how many times, huh? Brother Doug, are we there yet? Yeah, are we there yet? How many times do you get that right out of the gates, you know, about 2 seconds down the road, and you get, are we there yet, Dad? Like, buddy, we just started, and you got 16 hours of driving. So let's just park the line, because they have to wait. It's the concept of waiting. We get older, we must wait for other things. You know, as life transpires, and, you know, sometimes the wait can be difficult. You know, we wait, you know, some just really, really desire to drive. And so that's a long haul, as they have to get to 16 and 17 to learn to drive. You know, it just can't come soon enough. And some, you know, can't wait to go to work. I don't know who that is, but maybe somebody. But I can tell you, after their first day, they're waiting for retirement. And the wait continues. You know how it is. And so we cause some wait, can't wait to get married. It's just what it is, you know. They're desiring to get married, and it can't consume enough. It can't come soon enough either. And so we must do a lot of waiting in our lives. As they say, hurry up and wait, right? Unfortunately, that's what happens these days, and we get in a lot of anxiety and trying to get to where we need to go or a certain event that needs to happen. And we wonder, you know, I wonder even in our prayers, I wonder if we ask God the same question, Lord, am I there yet? Or are we there yet? And he's like, just wait. Just wait a little while. You're like, but Lord, are we there yet? He's like, my child, just wait a little bit. You know, we have to wait. Sometimes we must wait. And I wonder if, you know, we get maybe a little agitated, a little worrisome, and a little, you know, whether we'll miss the event as children would do or won't happen. They miss out, you know, and that's the reason maybe it's such a great thing. They're just so anxious as children to get somewhere or to do a certain thing. And they have this anxiousness there. So they just don't want to miss it. You know, I can imagine you go somewhere, and as parents or and such, we try to do things, you know, we want to be true to our word. And, you know, you could plan all you want, and we could, you know, you could be on time, you could leave the house on time to go somewhere, maybe it's some event for your children or some sort, and you're taking them out somewhere special, and off you go, and, you know, they're eager to get there, and all your best laid plans are laid out, and on your way there, you nail a flat tire. And then suddenly now you're on the roadside and all your best laid plans have been now laid aside and you got jacks out there, you're calling BCAA and you're trying to get to the tow truck there and the hour is fast approaching and maybe even passes by. And that someone there, your children there waiting, you know, Dad, are we going to make it in time? They're waiting to get there and, you know, sorry, son, but it doesn't look like we're going to get there. And as humans, there's sometimes nothing that we can do. It's out of our control. We try to do everything we can in our power, but still something can come up and derail our best laid plans and really disappoint. Not that it's your fault, but disappoint. And so maybe you make some time, some place, maybe it's late. Maybe you get there and don't even make it. But I want to tell you tonight, if I could just say as a little bit of a preamble, my God is never late. He's always on time. I don't care. There ain't no issue, no trouble, no problem, no nothing is going to come up that's going to stall what my God desires to do. Amen? But Abraham says, yet in space, he says, the world whirls itself around. Who whirls it around and keeps it that perfect time? He said, it certainly would be slowing up a little if there wasn't something keeping it moving. How can you keep it moving so perfect? How does it go around the sun the way it does? It makes winter and summer and so forth just as perfect. 6,000 years, it hasn't lost a second. It's always on time. It's so perfect that they can time the eclipse of the sun. In fact, it's happening in a few days. For those that are out of touch from the science realm, we've got an eclipse coming. And people are keen. They've planned it out. Why? Because God keeps such perfect time. They knew this was coming a long ways away. And in fact, if you wanted to live to somewhere around, you know, 2700 and something, you actually could plan for the eclipse if you expected to be here, which you won't. January 26, 2791, there's going to be another eclipse. And there's many, many more in between and thereafter because God keeps his time. Amen. How can man even, I don't even understand how they cannot believe there is a God when you can see the heavens and how they're ordered and how perfect they are and that God can create the very heavens and move the functions of systems into such perfection that thousands and thousands and thousands of years from now, they're still moving and you can count on them to be on time. You just think that just happened, just happened? It just perchance that just took place. That God, that the thousands and billions of galaxies, not just our galaxy, but all the galaxies have that happening all at the same time. They're also on time. Think about it. Think how puny we are. God keeps his time. Then you think, well, oh God, are you going to deal with my situation? Are you going to be on time? I'm telling you, he's on time. If he can keep Mars going, and he can keep Jupiter going, hang them in the air, and the sun and the earth and everything spinning around to make sure it happens just exactly, and all the world is ensuring they're watching for that sun, waiting for the moon to come and cross the sun, and it's going to come just exactly because he ordained it to. I can tell you the issue that you're praying, you're saying, Lord, I have this great need. I have this situation. Are you going to make it happen? Is it going to be on time? He's going to tell you, son or child, it's going to be exactly when I ordain it. What confidence we should have in him. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. The hour cometh. Scripture says, well, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old and earth standing out of the water and in the water. And whereby the world that then was being overflowed of water perished. He says, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire. I can tell you that date will be on time. That ain't going to be missed. Against the day of judgment and perdition. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack. You know what that word means? The Lord will not delay. He's not a procrastinator. I'll tell you that. He don't have those traits. He isn't like, well, I got late. I'm sorry I didn't look at my clock, and I just didn't make it on time. Sorry to disappoint you, child, but it ain't happening for you. No, that's not happening. The scripture says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness or tardiness or slowness or procrastination, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. That's my God. He's never out of sync with his clock, if I could put it that way. I know he's eternal, but we're sitting here in time. So he knows there's a time aspect there. He lives in eternity, but he knows there's time, and he's never late. He's never been early, actually. He's always on time. Always and forever will be. You know, I can tell you, maybe some would wish he was late, like Ahab, who received an arrow at the exact perfect time. Right? We've spoken this a little while ago on the arrow that was destinated because it was preached. It was spoken that this would happen. It would take place. And I can bet you he wished it would come at a different hour, a different time. But it wasn't just chance as we spoke. It was God's hour that cometh. It was spoken by a prophet. The hour cometh, Ahab. It's going to happen, Ahab. Well, Ahab went about his thing and God's clock started. The moment the prophet said it, click. It went on. The great stopwatch started. The timer started counting down. Clickety click, clickety click. And though Ahab went about his business, there was a time, the hour cometh. And at the moment that God ordained, and now it's boom, Ahab's down. Why? Because God's time is on time for the good or for the bad. In Ahab's case, for the bad. Sometimes, Brother Bram says, we get weary and upset. We get hastily. Oh, we must do this or do that. But remember, God's clock will be just exactly on time. All these things he said has to be that way, done accordingly to his great knowledge and foreknowledge. He said, therefore, he knew that we would live in this day. He knew that this would be our day, and he had plans for this day. Oh, I thought that was just wonderful. Lord, you got plans for this day. You've laid it all out. You know exactly what's going to happen. You knew what's ordained for this moment. He said he has plans for every day. Amen. And so God knew, God had a plan. He had it all in order. He had a schedule of events, if I could put it that way. And everything has a time, if I could say that, put to beside it. At this time, this will happen. At this time, this will happen. And I can tell you, every time it goes by, check, 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 God's on time. And so here Isaiah, scripture said Isaiah, and he preached out, a virgin shall conceive. And God's stopwatch started 700 years before that was going to take place. And so now the timer starts counting down, and the hour now is spoken, the hour cometh. A virgin shall conceive. And that was, if I want to put it down, because we just read the scripture, that the 1,000 years is as a day to God. As such there, beloved, be not ignorant. Lord, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years to man. And so here now, 700 or so years before, the hour now has been spoken that it comes. Well, in God's time, just plus minus here, give me a little bit of wiggle room, it's about 17 to 18 hours of time. In God's time, if you can just follow me here a little bit to the fulfillment of it, okay? So in time, now really that's all it is to God, is a few hours of time, okay? And here it starts off, and you know what he said, and you can imagine at that moment, did you know what you just said, Isaiah? You just said that a virgin shall conceive. That's preposterous. Well, that's what I said. That's what God unctioned me to say, because there's a coming an hour that needs to take place. But really, I mean, you can prophesy for the rise and the fall of kingdoms and such. You know, that can make some sense. But surely a virgin to conceive that has not known no man, that's preposterous. It's humanistically impossible. I know, but God spoke it. The hour cometh, and the clock starts to tick down. And Isaiah passes from the scene, and the grumblers and the naysayers and all those that rise up, and the doubters would have taken their place generation after generation after generation, and it would fade and fade and fade from memories. But it was written down in a book that it would not. It would form part of the Word of God, form part of the mystery of God, even part of the unveiling of God's redemption plan. Brother Bram says he showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. Therefore, the entire Bible is the revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had. That part that Isaiah was expressing, or that he spoke out, was part of the expression or the goal that God had. He said his one purpose to achieve all the acts Acts of the believers in the Bible had been in type, expressing what God's great goal is. He said, and now in his last day, he's revealed it and shows it, and God's help will see it right here, what the Lord has had in his mind all along. And so Isaiah was forming part of that expression of what God was desiring to show at a future time. Amen. The prophet was saying, the hour cometh. It's coming ahead of you. And a few hours or so later, about 8 hours later, in God's time, Malachi steps forth on the scene. God starts the clock again, because he comes out at about 425 BC, and another prophecy rings out, and he says, behold my messenger. I'll send my messenger before my face, and he'll prepare the way. Speaking of John the Baptist, and out comes a prophecy, another one, the hour cometh. Do you know what that means, Malachi? And an unction of the Spirit comes through him. Who's coming? The messenger's coming. Coming before Messiah. And we must keep an eye out. And here we have now, Ed is halfway through. We started at 17, 18 hours. Now it's 8 hours or so later. We're 300 years or so after Isaiah. The hour cometh, and 400 plus more years will continue in silence. But the hour cometh. Surely many cried, where's this messenger to come? Where's the virgin that must speak, that must conceive? Where's the Emmanuel that was promised? Send him that we might follow. Or maybe they're naysayers and say it was just all falsehoods. See, it's been how many hundreds of years that this took to transpire. And that great clock started to strike certain times. And started to send a flurry as it worked its way down. And it started to send a flurry all through heaven. And I was just thinking, what that would have been like as it started to come down to the hour cometh, and it started to approach the moment when those things that were spoken by the prophets started to manifest. Think about it. Amen. It crossed over from the hour is coming to now is. There was a crossing over to now this is present tense. It was no longer looking to. It was no longer a future tense, but it became the present moment. It now is. Amen. Elizabeth now suddenly supernaturally conceives to bear John. And at 9, he's unctioned to go in the wilderness. Brother Bram says, why did God take John the Baptist, as I was speaking, into the wilderness? He said at the age of 9, he took a man that never went to school day in his life. So we understand that John went into the wilderness at 9 years old and was alone with God. Think about it. God whisked him off at 9 years old. So here at the beginning, if I can try and get some, so bring this down to you in a little bit of a flash. We think that Elizabeth bears a son or is conceived. But 40 seconds after Elizabeth is told, Gabriel sent to Mary. This is all happening now. Okay? And we're saying 1,000 years is as one day. A few seconds later, Gabriel's like, okay, God keeps good sets of time. He's like, all right, is everybody ready? Heaven was on notice. The time is now. Amen. I said it just a few hours ago. You better get in place, because here we go. So there now things start happening in heaven. In time, we're just sitting there being like, wow, this has been forever. No, but God's starting to move things. He has everybody in place at exactly the right time. You might be sitting there kneeling in prayer and wondering, what, God, I have this great, great need. But he's got it all there, situated already, so that when the time goes from the hour cometh to the hour that it now is, everything is ready in action. Amen. It was all in action there with Elizabeth, and Gabriel now was sent to Mary and said, behold, you're going to conceive from that which was from the Holy Ghost. And now it turned the corner. And the moment now, when the now was activated. And in about 1.5 minutes later from Elizabeth's prophecy, a host of angels previously deployed now hail the arrival. They're all ready. It's happening this quick. If you want to get into heaven's realm, I know you're spinning your mind saying, well, it's eternity. I'm just trying to get you, because scripture said it's 1,000 years. So you can see how God is deploying things just so quickly and has it all perfectly in tune. A host of angels now is deployed. The arrival is given the cue, and they can say, he's here. Amen. And 1.6 seconds later, Simeon, anointed by the Holy Ghost, there is walking through the temple. Fast. Uh-huh. It was happening. God's timing was, he was exactly on time. And Simeon, anointed by the Holy Ghost, takes Jesus and sees him there and speaks his blessing and prophecy there, knowing that he had now seen the Christ has come and was revealed to him. He said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in, before all the prophets there, before the face of all the people." Sorry. Every person, every type, every event was a part of a certain expression of a certain moment. God had ordained them to play a part. He said, "I got a certain thing that's going to happen. I got a certain prophecy that's going to be fulfilled. And I need you in this place. And I need you in that place. And I need this to happen exactly." And he's got it all ordained because there was a certain expression that needed to be fulfilled. They were part of that moment. If they weren't there in place, if Simeon wasn't there, if Anna wasn't there, if Elizabeth wasn't there, the expression that God ordained wouldn't have transpired. So they were part of that fulfillment of what God had in mind. The attribute that God had intended at that time was now in action. And each of these saints and more, obviously predestinated way back, they're to be part of the first coming of Messiah. Eternity had called them to action. Think about it, because they're in God's mind. Were you in God's mind? And at their moment, their ordained moment, God called them to action. Amen. And so they're part of God's great plan. And the hour cometh now. It's now, it now is to rise and play your part. Amen. The time comes for you to rise and play your part. Mary had to agree to the word. Elizabeth had to believe in the word. Simeon had to. Anna had to. Joseph had to. They all had to believe and play their part. Amen. Your part needs to be played. Amen. Think about it. Their eternity, or I should say that maybe the Logos or the bosom of God called through time, designed to express a certain aspect of his word. If you think of Joseph, there was Joseph many, many years before the coming of Christ, didn't have control of what he was doing. If you could say he had a certain choices, but God had ordained him to play a certain part. He was going to basically walk out and live out the very image and type of Christ. And there he was as he comes out there and says, "Well, I dreamed a dream." He speaks about his dreams, and they all laugh and scorn at him. And then he gets sold as a slave, and he's jealous. All his brothers are jealous at him and thrown into prison. And you can imagine Joseph being like, "What have I done? Why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve such jealousy and scorn and malice from my own brothers? Why?" Then he's raised up into power and the glory of Egypt. I'm sure there was many times that Joseph maybe sat in the prison and said, "What am I doing here? How did I get to this place? What, Lord, what does this have to do with anything? Why would you not just leave me with my family? Why would you separate this me like this? Why would you put my father through such pain and strain and agony? What is this all about?" His own life was a mystery to him. But he didn't know that God had placed a certain attribute inside of him that he had ordained for a certain time, saying, "Joseph, I know, but way down the road, hundreds and if not thousand years later, there's a certain expression that I need you to portray. And so I'm calling for that to come and manifest at that time so that you can type out me when I walk through earth's dust." You might be going through certain struggles and certain difficulties. Say, "Lord, what am I doing here? How did I get to this point? Why am I going through such difficulty? Why the struggle? Why the circumstance? What is this?" He's just saying, "Just wait. I have something that I've placed in you, and I'm calling for that to come to fruition because I want you to express who I am." God was unfolding really his own mystery of who he was through Joseph's life. And a word at that moment was being, really, God's word was being expressed in type. Without these different ones, without Simeon and John and the Baptist and disciples, without their following, without their believing, it wouldn't have formed the word of God right here that you and I both read. That is the expression of who Christ is. So their part was there to express that. Mary, think of Mary. She had a seed inside of her deposited to take hold of the promise That was her ordained thing. And from eternity, it called to her, the hour cometh, Mary, but it now is the time. That when Gabriel came on her doorstep, that which was deposited in her suddenly activated. Because there was a moment that when the light came her way, she didn't even maybe know how, why Gabriel, why what was all happening. But what was inside of her was the response God had ordained to come out. Amen. Be it unto me according to your word, O Lord. You could come to a certain moment and you might not even understand it. You might not realize it. But there God comes to you at your doorstep. And in a moment, because inside of you is a place, something that would respond a certain way. Mary, you don't even know what you're doing. Maybe you don't even realize your role that you're playing. But my great plan of redemption, just take me at my word. So, Lord, I might not even realize what's unfolding at this very moment in time, why my life is going through a certain thing, but I'm just taking you at your word. That's Mary. And about 1.25 hours later, in heaven, the climax of God's arrival now came, and here we are at an Easter weekend. That's it. That's all it was. 1.25 or so hours later, we arrive, the hour cometh. And it was pushing through time, the attributes of a Savior. When it came to manifestation, that God could scream out, the hour cometh. And at that moment, he could scream out, it is finished. Think about it. Think about what the expression that he had desired for so long, that he'd formed his plan all through these scriptures right here. He desired to form a certain plan all in the back parts of eternity to come to a certain point where the Lamb would be formed. He could be made plain to the people, and that we could become beneficiaries of the expression of what God was trying to achieve. And he could scream out, it's finished! Brother Branham says that, and we, his beneficiaries, are to prove his life is in us now. The beneficiaries of this life, the life there never was a life lived like it. He was the Son of God, and God could scream out at that time, it's expressed! Imagine he could say, shifting from it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Joseph, play your part. Jacob, play your part. Abraham, play your part. Jonah, play your part. David, play your part. Daniel, play your part. Hebrew boys, play your part. Play your part. It's coming. The hour cometh. But then at that very moment, as he hung on the cross and he cried out, it's finished, he could say, the expression, it's here. Here it is. The hour cometh. And now is. And then at that moment, it's almost like in man's time and earthly perspective, it looks like God's plan had got completely derailed. It's like the clock lost time. What just happened? To man's idea, man's perspective, it looks like, what just happened? We just lost track of the time, just got lost here. The plans, we're going to be late. This isn't even going to happen. How do we? You're just telling me the Messiah just came and just died? The disciples walked through Saturday. You just went through the whole weekend. They walked through Saturday, the lowest day that they've ever had in their entire life. Because they had just followed Christ. They had just followed here, the expression of God. They were catching what God was doing and saying, this is the Messiah. And suddenly their Messiah hung on a cross. And it looked like, it's all lost. What a terrible day that they walked there. Derailed. Interruption. It's like, you know, we just completely got off the rails. Now isn't here anymore. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched the ear. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple, the elders which were with him, but ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour. The power and the power of darkness. God told Satan, okay, it's your hour. You can do what you need to do. It's now for you, but I'm telling you, you're at limited time. God put Satan in a little bit of a box and said, this is your hour. And man, we've been given, I just wrote down a little bit, we've been given 70 years, 70 years or so. And in God's time frame, that's about 1.7 hours. So Satan, he wasn't even allotted to. He was given an hour and a bit. You got an hour or so to go against my people. That's all you have. But I'm sorry, because you say, well, that's my whole life. You can come after me. Yeah, but you're eternal. That's just a little span of time. God gives Satan just a little bit of time. He said, well, you can deal with him like Job. I'll give you the leash to do what you need to do, but you're going to form a certain character out of them. But they're an eternal being, and you are not, devil. My, we can get so low down and low and wondering, God, have you forgotten me? Have you delayed and you're not able to fulfill what you've promised? The hour approached through Saturday. Can imagine the Saturday after the crucifixion, and God knew just how much time he needed, actually, because there was prophecy spoken. God was not running behind. God was not wondering, oops, what just happened here at Calvary? No, he was exactly going exactly as he had promised, in order before the foundation, and the now is was in process, and it was a split second later from when he hung on the cross and died. About 1.6 or so seconds later, he was raising again. On time, every time. Yeah. And he's not looking at your situation saying, sorry, I run out of time. Can't deal with your situation. I can see the woman at the well, as we read in Scripture. What events transpired in that day as she had to go through her day of trouble. Day by day, we know her situation, the pain and the sorrow and the thought, emotional distress she went through. But Jesus had to be at a certain time, and he went through all of his different aspects because he knew there was an ordained moment that he needed to be sitting at a well. And so all through what he did, it was exactly in order. Maybe a certain delay here, maybe a stop there, maybe this here. And he came to the time, he says, I just need to sit at the well. You go into the city and you go get some victuals. I have needs to go by this way. And so he knew exactly. And here at the exact same time and before it's transpiring, there's a little lady that's going about her daily business. She's in the middle of her circumstances. She's pondering all her difficulties. And why did I go through this? And now she's living with a man that's not even her husband. She's gone through 5 heartaches. Why she had gone, and what had transpired through that, and the hurt after the hurt after the hurt. And now she has to go to the well because she can't go at the time when the other virgins go to the well. And so she's ostracized and separated. And this is her life she's going through. But God had ordained every aspect of that because she had an appointed time to meet God. God knew the hour cometh. The hour cometh. The hour cometh. But as she stepped up to the well, it turned from the hour cometh to now is. And she didn't know it, but she was going to in a few second moments. Amen. And so Jesus now at a certain time, and she said, oh, she was tired. And I just love that she responded, she desired to worship. We say we can be, they say that we got to worship in Jerusalem, and our fathers want to worship here, and she's craving and longing for a certain aspect of worship. She wants to worship God. And then he came by her way, and he said, did she expect it? No. She didn't know who was coming there. It was totally unknown to her. Did it come at a time she expected, a way she expected? No, totally not. She maybe even wasn't looking for it, but God had her time. And I can hear maybe in heaven, this is about 1.4 hours from the time Christ was born. Heaven ringed out and said, it's her time. There's a little lady at a well. Get in order. I got to be there at a certain moment. I got to meet her need. She's got a difficulty. I got a light that I deposited in her. And I need her life. Think about this. I need her life to be written in my scripture, that her life could testify to thousands and thousands and millions. I got a 7th star in my hand. I got an angel to the last age that needs to take a hold of that scripture. I need her there. Be on notice, heaven. I'm going to meet her. Think how many times a prophet used her example to describe the vindication and to give the vindication of how God would come and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart and show the sign of the Messiah. How many times she was there, her now is moment was there. God ordained it, for her attribute of expression of God had to be drawn out of her. Sometimes God puts us through a lot of different issues, maybe through a lot of moldings and shapings, but there's a certain thing or a certain attribute or a certain expression that he's wanting to draw out. How many jars of water had she pulled from that well before? Back and forth and back and forth. Up there and her life in a disaster. And she drank waters really of the world and causing a lot of world of hurt. But now this moment it came that she was able to then drink from a different well. Amen. As the Christ said to her, I'll give you living water that he was handed to her. Nothing she drew, nothing she carried was given from another source, from another world. Hallelujah. How do you know? How do you know? You say, well, I've reached the end of my rope. Maybe she had too. Maybe she walked up to that well. She said, this is the last time walking this well. It's really, I can't do this no more. Maybe she was at the lowest moment of her life. And she's like, I can't do this anymore. How do I even function? Six men, can't find joy nowhere, can't find any satisfaction anywhere. It's really the end of it here. And she could have been at the lowest moment, but yet she was coming to actually her highest moment. How do you know at this very moment, sitting in this very pew or listening from that very camera at your little house right now, and you're at the lowest moment of your whole entire life, you're saying, Lord, I don't even know how I'm going in tomorrow. I don't know how to deal with this situation. I'm at the very lowest of my lows. I've dealt with this situation in my home. I dealt with my wife here. I got my children there. They're gone astray. I don't know if I can take it anymore. But how do you know at this very moment, it's your now moment? How do you know that God can't move on the scene right now and deal with your situation? If you can just drop down from the benefits of Calvary and say, Lord, I need a now moment. I need you to come on the scene right now. You know, sometimes like she was sitting there on the edge of the well or coming to the well, she wasn't actually even expecting it. You could be sitting in a pew tonight, or you could be walking tomorrow, or you could be at your little work desk tomorrow, and you could be sitting there and suddenly God comes down and drops exactly what you need, changes your whole world. And he's just sitting there. Yep, this is their time. Ordained moment of God. What if the waiting? You say, well, Mother Michael, that's all fine and dandy for the woman at the well. But your waiting can be over. Maybe you just need to reach out in faith. Maybe you need to call on him. I believe he could come on the scene tonight and completely transform another woman at the well tonight. That's why I come to church. That's why we gather here together. Because I believe a God that sat on a little well site on some stones in a little place called Samaria could come into a little sanctuary, into your world, that you're carrying your water pots of life, that you just going trudging back and forth in your little world. But I believe the same Christ that sat there is sitting right here tonight, and he might need to step out down and walk down and sit right on your pew right there and say, here I am. Just talk to me a little while. Can you just give me a little drink? Well, you can't give me nothing. I don't know, Lord, if you can do it. No, just talk to me a little bit. Just tell me your needs. Tell me where you're at. I just want God. I just want to worship him. Where do I worship him? He's saying he's coming. It's coming from this day. The hour cometh and now is that you can worship in spirit and in truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here I am. This is your moment. Amen. Hallelujah. What if we could, how the service could change if everybody said, Lord, right here on my pew, right here beside me right now, I just need a conversation, just you and I, because I'm in that place where she's at, and I need to meet you. I need to see you in the power of your resurrection. I need you in my life right now. This would be a different service if it wasn't just listening and listening to Brother Michael and saying amen. And so you start to talk to him. Say, oh God, you're here today. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've seen you vindicated time and time and time again. I need you now. That's in your hands. It's not in my hands. It's in your hands. You're the one who can reach out. You're the one who can talk to him. You're the one who can drop down on heaven's benefits. You know, well, we're all versed in scriptures. And some of these things, I'll go through these. I'm just going to move through just a little bit. You know, we can notice, as I turn a little bit of a corner, there's millions of Jews on the earth. And we can notice that if we go back in Israel, the time when Christ was there, the time when we're just speaking in Scripture, and during the days of Christ, how many people missed it? Millions of Jews were on the planet at that time. Millions. Several million. And there they were. A fraction, Brother Branham says, such a small amount of people actually got a revelation of who was in their midst. No matter how the prophecies that were there stated in the scriptures that they read, no matter how clear they were, because I can tell you, we met a scribe in Washington, D.C. He was at a museum. He was a full-fledged, full-on qualified scribe. And the scribes, they're trained. They write everything, because every synagogue has to have a handwritten Torah. Handwritten one. They can have copies for other people, but they had the one Torah that is read. It has to be handwritten, because it needs to put the elements and the desire and the fervency of the scribe is put into the pen, and he writes that out, and it has to be perfect. Not one mistake. And there's a little bit of ways they can make, it's actually leather parchment, they can scratch out if they really can. But if they make a mistake when they're writing the word, the name of God, it's all gone. Start from scratch. And it takes years and years to do that by hand. And they had this Torah, they had scribes, and they had this, and they read exactly the words that were there. There was no mistake, and they still missed it. They studied it. They knew it exactly. Letter, symbol by symbol, was etched on the leather parchment and given into the synagogue. And they read it with fervency. And they said, and they read the scriptures. They read the prophecies. They read Isaiah. They read Malachi. And there John the Baptist steps on the scene, and they don't even know who he is. And even the disciples said, well, Elias is supposed to come. He has come and will come. How do we miss that? Hosea says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. And 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Speaking of Israel, and Brother Bram says, revive is the same word used anywhere else. I looked it up. He said it means revival. He will revive us after 2 days. He said that would be in the third day he would revive us again. This is in recognizing your day and its message. After he scattered us and he blinded us and tore us. You know, the Jews are blinded for the very purpose that we could have sight, us Gentiles. They were torn apart, scattered as a nation, rejected their Messiah, that they might receive the Messiah, and there might be a people called out of the Gentiles for his name's sake. Amen. We believe this. The Jews will have their time. It's going to turn back to the Jews. But in the time, it was turned to us so the Gentiles could receive the message. Amen. But it's going to move back to them so that they can receive their prophets. Okay? And the scripture is saying, after 2 days, in the third day, it will rise up again. Abraham says, now notice, then after 2 days. Now that didn't mean 2 24-hour days. He said that's happened way back yonder many hundreds of years ago. It meant 2 days with the Lord after 2,000 years. So now you know how long it's been since that time. It's been 27 or 100 years since that. And now if you actually span up a little bit, it actually creeps into about 2,800 years. Because Hosea here was at about 780. He said, so it's been about that. So now we're in the third day. He says, and we're well into the third day. He says, that's the hour that we're living, the day that we're living in. So where are we right now? If I could say tonight, where are we in time? Where are we in time? In the third day. We're well into the third day from since that. He said, and now in the homeland, waiting for the Feast of Trumpets or the recognizing of atonement to come. This is for the Jews to mourn the rejection of the first time that they rejected it. They're in their homeland. He says, I can't see one thing left but going of the bride. And the bride has to be taken away before they can recognize what's happened. Where are we? Where exactly are we right now? What are we being called to do? What are we actually being called to express at this moment? But Elias, he must first come. And the Jews missed it. As God turned to the Gentiles, and here the same has happened. As the Gentiles now, it wasn't Elijah supposed to come. And as it's turning back to the Jews, they're missing the same thing. He said, well, maybe, you know, seems like it should be simple to detect. No, with all their understanding, with all their knowing, with all their seeing, the now is not really of man's ability. The hour comes. Well, they read that. It's coming. It's coming. The Messiah is coming. He's coming. The hour cometh. Uh-huh. And at the turning of to the now is, he cometh. He's coming. No. You're at the now is. He's coming. No, that's Beelzebub. No, that's a devil. He's coming. No, it's now. It's right here. Can't you see the works that he does? If you don't believe me, believe my works. For they speak of who I am. No, you're just of a devil. No, it's the now. It took more than eyes to see. It took more than reading just a paper and looking at a parchment. It took a revelation to see. That's the now. He's here. Thousands read the scripture, seeing the hour coming, but something more was needed. Matthew 24, as we would, for the sake of time, Christ is reading, learning from a parable, the fig tree, and he goes through all the aspects of Matthew 24. Likewise, he sings, he goes, know that it's near, even at the doors. He speaks about the tender fig tree putting forth its leaves. He said, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. But that of the day and the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And that gets linked to the end time. Amen? Because that's where they're asking. When will it be? When is he coming? When are you coming? For as it was in the days before the flood, they're eating, drinking, and marrying, and so forth. He says, two will be in the field, one will be taken, one left, two women grinding, one will be taken, one left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. Watch therefore, because you don't know the hour, but this, know this, that the good men of the house, if he had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered, not have suffered his house to be broken. Therefore, ye be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Okay. You say, I read that last, Brother Michael. Yep, I know. And thousands of people have. Thousands. Millions of people have read that. Matthew 24. And they've gone through their scripture, and just like the Jews did, they read it over and over and over again. And you just do a Google, and you find out they have no idea. The hour cometh. The hour cometh. The hour cometh. The hour cometh. No, now is. The hour cometh when the Son of Man shall come. The hour cometh. Who is that? I don't know. We don't really understand it. Who's Malachi 4 say? I don't know what that means, but it's coming in the future. Oh, God. Well, he's coming. No, it's not Son of David. It's not a king coming. It's not Christ coming in Revelation as he comes with the saints. No, it's Son of Man coming. It's very clear, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. The revealing of the Son of Man, which we know was a prophet, and this is very fundamental to you, but what I'm trying to tell you, but at the hour that cometh, but at the moment of the now is, nobody catches it. The precursor. If you don't see, if I could say this, if you don't see the Son of Man, and that is not revealed to you, how are you going to hear the message? They didn't catch who Christ was as he walked as the Son of Man in flesh. And there he was, and they didn't catch. They couldn't see who he was, so therefore they didn't catch the message that was behind it. They saw the signs and the wonders, but they didn't catch, because they didn't see who it was, therefore they didn't catch what the message behind it was. And then he hung on a cross, and they had no idea what was happening, but the now is, it now had passed. Think about that. You know, we're not the only ones. At the end of the day, we're not the only ones saying the end of the world's here. We're at the end times. We're not the only church, I'm sorry. Hundreds of thousands of churches saying we're at the end. But I just can't quite figure out. They're missing so many pieces. You say, well, we're at the end, but they're missing so many things. You say, well, how do you get, they can see it, but they can't see it. If that makes any sense. And down through the ages, they've pounded away. Brother Brown talks about Luther and different ones pounding away. He's coming. He's coming. He cometh. He cometh. Not knowing even what age they were in. They're just seeing the scriptures and they're saying, he's coming. He's coming at this time. There's a time when he's coming. But there came a time and place where it switched from the hour cometh to now is. But the Lord himself shall descend in his coming. Brother Brown says he does a three things. Scripture speaks about himself descending, his coming. Now comes with a shout. As we know, these are very, again, very fundamental things. He comes with a shout. And you just even look up what people say. I'm going to tell you, the appearance will be with pomp and power, with a shout of a king, and the power and authority of a mighty king and conqueror, with the voice of an archangel, and an innumerable company of angels will attend him, perhaps one as a general of those hosts, and give his approach and a glorious appearance. Redeemer and judge will be proclaimed, for the trumpet shall sound, and it'll awaken those that sleep from the dust of the earth, and the summon of the world to appear. That's a commentary from one of the commentaries of the different areas. That's their summation of what that meant. And that's what they hang on to. And someone else has another idea. And they think this, it means something else. So then what has to transpire? God had to send a prophet in this day to show you exactly what the scripture means, so that when he said the hour cometh and now is, you knew exactly when the now is was. Or is. And he said, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout and a voice, with the voice of an archangel. Brother Branham, when he speaks about it in rapture, it's a message. He says that shout is a message going forth, bringing living bread of life to bring forth a bride. Man, when you start to read from the prophet, he said, that's exactly what it is. Amen. As he starts to tie it in, the message with the shout must be a prophet, saying God changes not, revealing the secrets, and servants and prophets are reflectors of the word. He said, never has a prophet been part of a religious or easy ecclesiastical movements. He's standing there alone. He said, it's lamp trimming time. We're in the seventh watch. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The hour cometh, and the shout went forth. Amen. Think about this, ties the shout to Malachi 4 and the shout that would need to fill Revelation 10:7, that the mystery of God would be finished. Malachi 4, 5, and 6, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day. Brother Ed has talked about this in past. He says that great day was when he came on Calvary, a wonderful day when salvation price was purchased, but the dreadful day when the ashes of the wicked would be walked on. Elijah would come before the great and before the dreadful, and at the great day would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Amen. But in the dreadful day, Elijah would come and turn the children, the last stage bride, to the book of Acts, Pentecostal fathers. So there's two aspects there in that scripture. Oh, but the world says, well, Malachi 4, it helps us to recognize there's more to the story. Oh, God. He says, one day in the future, Malachi's prophecy will be fulfilled. That's what you get out there right now. If you want to just read out, what do they think about? It's going to be fulfilled someday in the future. It cometh. The hour cometh. I want to cry out to the world. And now is. Man's commentary, the hour cometh. But when? How will I know it's now? Oh my, you can preach, well, a prophet come. A prophet come, that's wonderful. But you need to realize and be able to recognize what the prophet was saying and receive the message. He said, Brother Bram says, there he said, because it's life, because I'm responsible for God for saying it, and I must say it, and my message all the time back there under healing and so forth, like that was to catch the people's attention, but the knowing the message would come. It was more than just signs and wonders. It was more than just discernments and such, but there was a message that came behind it, is what he said, and here it is. And he said, them seven seals open, those mysteries showing the things that was to happen. Amen. He said, it was coming to a place where the messenger himself definitively states, even there's mighty messages, there's mighty incredible signs, but there was something that needed to happen. And Brother Branham says in spoken word, he says, God promised to Matt from Malachi 4. He said, and Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled. He says that very clearly in spoken word, the original seed. The hour cometh. The hour cometh. But then something transpired. Why do you think when we preach the gospel and out around the world, this message is going forth and it's being translated, and Brother Tim is laboring, and all the believers are laboring, because something had to happen. Something had to transpire to tell the world the hour had cometh and now is. Jesus referred to it. He said, He said it is to be just before the coming of Christ the second time. All scripture that has not been fulfilled must be before that time. The Bible's to be finished. And he goes through the Gentile dispensation to be finished. And such, he said, the fulfillment of Malachi 4 was not just in the signs, as we said. It was in the revealing of the mystery of God. That's why at the revealing, or when the mysteries were fulfilled and the seals were opened, then after that, he says, Brother Branham says in another quote, and I don't have it in front of me, he says Malachi 4 is now fulfilled. How critical it is to catch what the prophet was saying, not just to be dazzled by and follow the signs and the wonders and all this and that and the other. No, there was a word being laid forth so that you could catch the moment when it went from the hour cometh to now is. But Abraham says, he said, that's why they want a great awakening. You know, when Mary's seed, I'm going to back up, when Mary's seed was activated and the expression of God was calling for her to express what he had ordained in her. But I'd say in this age, God has ordained a certain expression in you and I to recognize and to be able to see and to understand by revelation what part of his expression you are. That's what this message came to do, to open your eyes of understanding so that you could realize what part you're playing at this now is moment. But in this age, Brother Abraham says that things are going, great things are going to happen. Oh, all of you, pray, pray, pray. We're not too late. He's saying that that's what they're saying. Why do they do that? Why do they say that? He said, they're wanting a great awakening. They're crying, believing there'll be an awakening. They're good people. Why is it? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. By being a Christian, they feel a pull of the hour. They know it's at the end. Something's happening. Something's transpiring. They feel a pull of the hour. Amen. They actually feel a pull, if I could say, from you, around you, because you, as the bride of this last day, you're the one pulling. You're the one connected with an eternal God. Something in you being drawn out, an attribute to be expressed, and they sense it. Something's happening. He said something's supposed to happen. That's what making them feel that way. They know something is supposed to happen. But see, they're looking for it way off in the future. Think about it. Where are you tonight? It isn't way off in the future. We are right in the third day, deep in the third day, when a prophet has said Malachi 4 is fulfilled. And he said they're looking way off in the future, and when it's already happened right by you. He's preaching it. And there they are sitting on a platform, wherever they are, wherever this message, I don't know exactly where it was preached off my heart, but he's saying it's happened all around you, and they're looking for it way out there, and it's happening right now. The hour cometh, and now is. That's really what could be said there. What's it doing? What's that message doing, Philip? It's to find you. It's to get the seed inside of you to break forth. That's what it's here to do. Because it's searching. As Brother Bram speaks about the ego, he said he hunts for it. He's hunting for his seed. He's out there searching. And so as an eagle screams, he's calling out so that you could express, because he's got something there. His bride is not done until every last one has been bought. And every last one comes to the recognition of who they are. And so he's there expressing the very coming of Christ, and he's declaring through you the hour that we're in. I just thought, I said, my God, to think of the hour that we're living in, that we've been chosen. I thought of the little lady at the well. She was chosen for such a moment to be such a testimony, because God had a certain expression that he wanted to bring out of her to actually fulfill and vindicate part of his coming. She was part of that. Without her, it wouldn't have all been fulfilled exactly how God had planned it out. And so there's an expression out of you that God is desiring to come out, and he chose you and I to be at this point in time, at the very last day, so that at the now time, when there's no more delays, this is going to happen, and I've got a certain aspect that I need to be revealed through them. Think about it. and eternity descend. Seven angels blast through from eternity to awaken a seed in you and me. That's what it's here to do. So that the very fullness of God's attributes, the culmination of who he is, could be actually expressed through you and I. That might be a lot to chew on, but that's what this word came for. The hour cometh to pull out a bride, the mystery that he deposited in her. It's now. Now's the time for those attributes to be expressed so that his bride would believe every word, to catch the revealing of what was happening and transpiring at this time, and to respond to the unveiling of it. That's your play, part to play. Think about, if I could put it this way, and we touched on Ruth a little bit. But there was Ruth back there before she had came into, she was there with Naomi. And there Ruth did not know why in her. Why, you know, she must have come up and she's there to Naomi and she said, oh, Naomi, you know, I'm where you go, I go, and where you die, I die, and your God be my God. And I wonder if she just stepped back in her mind for a split second and said, what am I saying? Why am I? I'm leaving my parents and everything I know, and I hope my mom and dad and my life here. What am I doing? With something inside of her, God was calling, pulling out of her a certain attribute. No, Ruth, I need you to be a type of my bride. I need you to show what that inside call is doing. Regardless of what your mind is saying, your soul is saying. I don't know, Naomi, but I'm going where you go. I don't know, but your God's going to be my God. Where you die, I'll die. Where you live, I live. That's where I want to be. And Ruth's taking her first steps, and Naomi's saying, wow, what just transpired? Because something inside of her was being called out of her. It was the very expression of God in her that needed to be revealed, that was going to be portrayed. And so Ruth began. There then Ruth began to glean. And there the hour cometh. She's gleaning and she's gleaning. And in that time scale, the hour was coming. The hour was coming. She didn't know what she was doing. Then she went with Naomi and she wondered, maybe, what does all this mean? And oh, there's so many different things were transpiring. But there came a moment, there came an hour when the expression of her to be made bride was going to be made clear. And there she then laid at the feet of Boaz the word, or Boaz there, and he spread his garment over her, and tells him what he's going to do. And he could say, Ruth, you've taken little pieces of little barley and you've scratched in my field. All down through the ages, you've scratched through the word. You've got this a little bit here. You've pulled these little handfuls here. And even actually, if you look at it, there's a great outpouring of gifts at the Pentecostal age. And Boaz actually gives her six measures of barley, just an abundance, as she takes it back to Naomi. And there he gives it to her. But that was all just the hour cometh. That was just the coming. There was something greater to happen. It wasn't just back in the early ages. Well, where you go, I'm going to go. I'm going to follow this word, and I'm going to take a little here and glean a little there. Or then the outpouring of Pentecost. Oh, my goodness, I just got a whole pile of barley from him. But there was more to it than that. It wasn't just to stay back there. Boaz was going to reveal himself in a fullness of a way. The hour has come and now is to be who you've been called to be. It wasn't just for Ruth to just be Naomi's daughter-in-law. Ruth was called to be a bride. You've not just been called to come through this age and just to wander through life and do your thing and this, but you've been called to be a bride. You've been called for God to say, that's my daughter, that's my son. No matter what trials they come their way, no matter what issues they are, the expression out of her, she's my bride. There's more to just saying, well, I'll go. Your God will be my God. There's more than just gleaning. There's more, if I could say, in the early ages, they gave their lives at a stake. There's more than just justification and sanctification. But God is saying, I want to pull from you. Christ wanted to call a certain attribute to be that was placed in you for this time to show the world by expression of my bride. And Boaz proclaimed. Think of that moment when he told her, I'm going to do all I need to do. God said, I'm going to do all I need to do because you're my bride. Because I want to deposit into you my seed. You think some? Let's go a little spiritual here. Boaz claimed her so that the word could be deposited in her, so that she could manifest the word seed. That's what this word came to do, to deposit into you a word seed so that you could birth Christ. Not what Eve did and doubted back in the garden. God said, my great purpose is to have an Eve again that will never doubt one word. That's the attribute that God placed in you. That's what God's saying, I'm pulling this out of you. Eternity is calling for you, Brother Sterling, to emit who I am. I'm putting a seed in you, and I'm going to call out of it at this age a bride that will say, God, I believe every word. I don't doubt one thing. I don't look for the great signs and the wonders. I just follow your word. And if you want to pour it on me, so be it, Lord. Glory to God. I'm telling you, he's not calling for something that he hasn't already deposited. He's already placed it in you. It was already in Ruth. What God, what Boaz desired was already there. She didn't have to conjure it up. It just came from out of her. And that it just did. What a young man and a young lady. How do you describe that? He's got eyes for her. She's got eyes for him. What is that? It's something in there. Something God placed there. And they just can't get their eyes off each other. The world could just disappear and say, snap out of it. Yoo-hoo. No, that's what Ruth. She just couldn't get her eyes off Boaz. Oh, my. What a man he is. Isn't that just it? It's in you. And you look to the word. Like, oh God, this is my God. This is my Boaz. And he gives you his message. And he reveals his word. And it's calling a certain love out of you. Because he wants to put his seed in you. So that you can manifest his word entirely. Hallelujah. Musicians, why don't you come? Why could Hudson Taylor go where he went, live on rice and sleep on a board? He did that. I just read about him. Incredible man. Why could he do that? Something inside of him was being called out. I need you, Hudson Taylor. I need you to do this. I need you. You know, why did he have a burden to do that? And say, I'm just going to eat rice or I'm going to sleep on a board to prepare myself for something God's doing. Because it was placed in him. God put it there. It wasn't conjured up. How could those walk into an arena? I've walked onto the sand floor of the Colosseum. And I walked out there a couple years ago. They had just restored it so you could walk out into the big arena. Half of it's done, just like it was. And I walked in there, and I looked at it. And oh God, this is where my brothers and my sisters walked right here. I am walking where they stood as they stepped out to look at a lion or a gladiator, some beast that was going to take their life. And they stood there and they walked there with the glory of God that shone about them. And I thought, oh my, Lord, what am I doing? What am I doing in this day and age? And I know we've said it and many different ones have said it, but the same attribute that was placed in them that was calling for a certain expression, God placed in you to stand in this wicked, dark hour where the United States could shout out some transgender visibility day on the day of Easter. What an Ichabod! And you and I could stand in this day and age and say, oh God, our daughters are virtue. Our brothers are clean. They're standing with their shoulders back, walking through the darkness, out into the arena of the Colosseum of darkness. And you still stand. Why? Because God has placed in you an expression to say, that's my bride. Hallelujah. You are part of his coming. Without you, his coming's incomplete, actually, because you're the expression of it. Hallelujah. You can't fail. You can't fall. You're called to victory. You might walk feeling like you are, but I can tell you the moment you stumble, he's there to pick you up. Sorry, my bride won't fall. Because I've placed in you Something that'll hold you in these last days. Amen. Brother Bram says, at the end time, the prophecies will repeat. And the first forerunner came from the wilderness and cried, "Behold the Lamb of God." He said the second forerunner will probably do the same by pointing the people to a word-born bride. Wow. That to me was an incredible quote. That the prophet Malachi 4 would point to a word-born bride in this last day. And she receives the same word and becomes the very nature or the very expression of who Christ is. It's glorious to me, saints, that we get to live in this last day, at this time, in this day, and realize what we've been called to express. Not in an hour that comes, not the hour cometh. I want to tell you, now is. It's the now is. And I pray God. I was even thinking, I want to sing, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I was just thinking, you know, say, well, Brother Michael, I've made some bad decisions. Okay. And I actually wrote in my notes here, I said, I know there's prodigals. And I know some of you are going to be listening. And you might tap into the service. And I would want my voice to cry out. You might have made some bad decisions. You might have made some difficult things. And you are in a place like a prodigal who made some rotten decisions. I just want my inheritance. I want to go here. I want to do this. And I want to spend that. And in the midst of all those decisions, he made some wrong calls. And did this and left his father's house. But I can tell you, God wasn't late. And the decisions that the prodigal made did not hinder the angel of the Lord to go out there and call him back to his rightful place. I don't really care what decisions you've made. It's not going to stop the call of God in your life to come forth and be expressed. Even in the pig pen, the hour cometh. And now is. That moment came for that one that was picking up the slop. The now is moment came regardless of what choices he actually made. Think about it. He made some bad decisions. He made some bad choices. I don't care what your choices are. God still will call up from inside you. If you've got a seed of God, it's going to be made manifest. Brother Branham says, when God calls a man to do something, he just might as well come to it. And I speak this to every prodigal. We are living in a time that it's the now is time. There's no time to dilly-dally. There's no time to ponder and wallow in the mud of your situation. I don't really care how bad it is. I don't really care how low you are. It's time to get business with God. And Brother Branham says, when God calls a man, he just might as well come to it, or he'll be miserable the rest of his days. Who wants to be miserable the rest of your days? Nobody. And Moses started out, and he goes through Moses and what he ordained him to do, and he lost his vision and so forth. But God ordained him, raised him, born from a mother's womb, and raised him for this purpose. He said, no need of trying to get out of it. You're going to do it anyhow. No more. It don't really matter. You ain't going to get out of it, prodigal. I don't care where you are. If you're listening to me down the road in 10 years from now, God will still call you. And he said, if you feel that there's something deep in your heart, you'll be a miserable wretch until you accept that Christ like that. You've seen the real, genuine Holy Spirit working in a people. You've seen the genuine Holy Spirit working in a people. You'll come miserable until it comes to you. It's God calling you. Give yourself up. I say in the name of the Lord, give yourself up. Come out from behind the bushes. That's what my prophet said. Come up from wherever you are. Walk forward and say, oh God, you're calling me to be an expression of this bride, to express the grace of God. I was low and undone without God or his son, but you reached down your hand for me. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand? Why don't we thank God? Say, Lord, thank you that I can be an expression at this last day to actually express and reveal to the world you're coming. What a marvelous thought. Oh, if I could, I want to stand and sing.
as Brother Ryan's playing, I pledge allegiance. As those in past times expressed it, as those beyond in the darkest of ages, there's still a bride that's going to be here at the last day, that our seed, as Mary's seed was activated, our seed, our attributes have been activated to express the coming of Jesus Christ. That's your part to play, bride. Walk out of here. The Holy Ghost and power to fall on you. Because let's walk in who we are, actually. I don't have time to go in it. Why don't we sing the glory to his name? Amen. Well, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Soul from the innermost part of my bosom, Lord, I pledge allegiance. Let every aspect of your image inside of me just be pushed out of me. Call it from the eternities. Hey, man, I was thinking just before we go, imagine there what Peter and John, when he walked by their way, they're fishing, hauling in the nets. Maybe they're fixing the nets. And Jesus walked by and said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Think about it. At that moment, nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. Their job, their family, everything just faded away. Suddenly, he said, we're following him. I thought, Lord, may we be at that place tonight. We've got our jobs. I know we've got our responsibilities. But may everything inside of us at this final moment of time, when we are at the pinnacle to express his coming and express the full mystery of God in you and I and his coming. Here we are, oh God, at this pinnacle, apex. May I be like Peter and John and James and Andrew and said, you know what? Nothing else matters. I'm following him. My careers, my this, my that is secondary. My relationships, my friendships, my this, my that, nothing else matters but my pledge of allegiance to my King of Kings. Amen. This is the hour we live in, saints. We live in the now is moment. It ain't no hour cometh anymore. We're past that. It's the now is. And in fact, the shout has gone forth and the messenger has now gone on. Where are we? The final threads of time. And I'm just so thankful that I heard the call. I am so thankful I heard the call. What grace is this that God could beckon and pull out of my heart and out of your heart and say, you're my bride. I pray you walk out of here and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, what grace is this, as a songwriter penned down, what grace is this that my Savior came down, Lord, and hung on a tree and died for me and died for each one here. Lord, what grace is this that placed us at the end of time, that we could live out the very last moments and even be participants of the rapture cycle, where, Lord, there will be those here that will remain. Lord, think of it. There's those here that will remain, and you designed and you allowed each one of us here, Lord, those here to be part of that time. Lord, I want to thank you from the depths of my soul. Help us, oh God, to not look left or right. Help us, Lord, the burden of our heart as we see the end of time approaching, that our hearts would be burdened for those that are needing to get back to Christ, those that need to be saved. Oh, may the searchlight of your word, Lord, just go on extra strength as it starts to penetrate through the darkness. May the expressions, oh God, of your attributes here in this assembly go out, and oh, may there the atmosphere around them, oh God, be so tangible at their workplaces, at their school places. They said, there's something different. I desire, I crave whatever you have. Lord, that's what we've been commissioned to do in this last day. I dismiss your people. Lord, go with them. Lord, may their hearts bubble over with love. Lord, for their bridegroom, for their Boaz, for their kinsman redeemer. We thank you, Lord. Go with each one now. We dismiss them now in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week ahead of you. The expressions of Jesus Christ. Amen. May you shake each other's hand. You're dismissed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.